Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com. And it is Thursday, December the 21st, 2023. And it's considered to be the solstice, folks. Now, Joe, I'm getting a little bit of noise here in the background for some reason off the phone. It's echoing. But I have Professor Joe on with me this evening. And tonight's the solstice. It's the shortest day of the year. From this point forward, we'll be gaining time instead of losing time or coming to the final end. That's what the solstice is all about, the shortest day. But in the satanic world, which I do a lot of discussion on, Joe does a lot of discussion on, we've talked about it, about the aliens, which are the fallen angels, etc. There's a whole series for a year, last year, that we did a radio show. So if you go in there and they're marked that way, pertaining to Galactic Foundation or Federation, etc., you'll hear about it because Joe knows this stuff. I met the guy myself in person. I think it was in 95 when I was down there after I'd been anthraxed and so forth and healed somewhat from it, from filing this grand jury demand against the Bushes, who I'm mentioning tonight, because the same ones that were in the grand jury demand, part of them are going to be there in Denver, Colorado, doing human sacrifices. One is Larry Mizell. Now, they do that at the old Navari in downtown Denver. It's an old whorehouse casino that Leonard Millman owned and remodeled and fixed it up or brought it, not remodeled, but brought it up to date. But they do human sacrifices there on the winter and summer solstice. Now, the reason they do it there is because of ley lines, energy grids. And Joe's going to get into that, and he is an expert in this area that I want to make you understand, because they put these thoughts into your head through these ley lines and these human sacrifices. And this is a big ley line that comes there, but it's across from the Brown Palace Hotel. Now, I have videotape that I saw, and I'm supposed to go in to receive it shortly from a friend who took it with a drone and a camera showing the old Navari from the air at night. It wasn't during the human sacrifice, but he was there videotaping because he's a filmmaker and was doing some stuff for me. Now, hopefully that will be with this radio broadcast. As a broadcast with video, also there's a FBI raid video that's on my website. It shows a human sacrifice where actually the FBI was raiding the place and the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms or whatever, like the DEA. They were raiding the place because of supposedly drugs. And what did they just do? They just did a human sacrifice. And you can see these two girls with blood on their mouths and everything else where they were drinking the blood of this person they murdered. And they ended up finding other heads later, digging up bodies in the backyard. That video will be along with this second video, is the air coverage with this audio. Hopefully, it will be completed. But Joe, you're quite aware of what goes on certain times of the year, like the solstices, the summer and winter, which the human sacrifice. These people will be in Denver, Colorado, and I'm gonna probably miss a name or two because I'm not so with it today. Having brain farts. Now, Larry Mizell would be one. Henry Kissinger would have been there, but he's dead. He died here recently. Rockefeller, Rothschild, Anwar ben Sharia, the head rabbi in Israel. It used to be Pope Benedict. I don't know who replaced him recently, a couple years ago. Warburg, Patrick Wu, China. He likes to live in Dallas and buy property from Mizell in Dallas. God, I'm missing Joe. Which other ones am I missing? The Council of 12 or Council of 13, the 13th being the devil. What names?
What I would say is I don't know what would be on the Council of 12. But what I can do is read off a list of names, and I'm pretty sure that some of those names would be on the Council of 13. So there is a guy named Jay Parker, and he mentions because his mother was a Satanist, and Jane was raised as a Satanist.
Oh, I have the video of Jay Parker up on StuWeb.com. I posted here the other day. Go ahead, Joe.
So, what we have with that is, Jay Parker said that his mother traced her ancestry back to Edom. And the Edom is, they call it, oh, I can't remember the name. Well, it'll come to me in a second. The petroglyphs. And so it is built into red rock. It's an old trading center. And what they have in that is human sacrifice. Now, this is going way, 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 way back. This comes from Jay Parker, and I'm pretty sure he's correct about what he says. And so when we talk about human sacrifice, this is something that goes back not just, I would say, in recent times. It goes back further than that, particularly when it has to do with what we would call human sacrifice. And when we read in the Bible of telling Abraham not to have anything to do with these people, that's the reason why. And when they sent in Saul to kill all the Amalekites and not leave anyone alive, it is for that reason, because they were Satanists. And to even kill the children. So when we say, well, what is this business concerning human sacrifice? And the reason for it is that in the blood is the life. And because the fallen angel has separated himself from God, they don't really have enough of that life force. And so what they do is they turn to humans and sacrifice them. At the moment of the sacrifice, they're able to receive that life force, the life force energy. And it's enhanced by the eating of the flesh and the drinking of the blood. So if people think that this doesn't go on, I will tell you, I watched a video on YouTube of Kenneth Copeland, who is supposedly this big Christian preacher preaching Jesus. He did a bloodletting in his own palm, put it into a cup, and drank it. That is a human sacrifice there, because Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood. He's talking about the life force, because he is the life force. He never told anybody to eat human flesh and to drink human blood. But here we have Kenneth Copeland, one of these big evangelists, drinking human blood.
Oh my God.
So when we say George Herbert Walker Bush and these other Satanists, that's what they're doing. They are drinking the life force that is in that blood, because they've cut themselves off from God, and it will empower them.
Yeah.
I will tell you right now, since October the 7th, we had one of the largest human sacrifices going on. It's called the Gaza. I guarantee you that the Gaza invasion is a satanic invasion. Why? Because Jay Parker identified Netanyahu as a big Satanist.
Yeah, it's in that video that's up on my site. You told me to put it up there. I did.
And so So when we say, and I have seen the rabbis put a curse on Ariel Sharon, and they do that. In other words, they are misusing some of this gifts of God for their selfish purposes. So that's what went on at the Old Navarre. Whether the Old Navarre still does that, we don't know for sure, because it's called the Ann Schultz Western Art Museum.
Yep.
It is a museum for Western art.
Right.
Ann Schultz.
I will tell you something about that Western art, because I'm aware of it, because Leonard Millman was involved in the OSS with Daddy Bush, and he was in charge. They put the Israelis in charge of getting these art out of, that was stolen art by the Nazis, and so they used the Americans, the Jew side, they trusted, but Hitler had a whole, fleet of his, or not fleet, but not battalion or anything like that, but he had enough officers and so forth and guards to guard the shipment of these paintings, rare paintings he had stolen from all over Europe. Anyway, Millman was put in charge by Meyer Lansky, a Jewish mob don of the world at the time, fallen angel possessed, put in charge of doing this with Adolf Hitler. Well, Millman was in charge of killing, and they did. They killed all the Nazis, and they ran off with the paintings. Well, they knew that Millman took part of the paintings. Some other people took part of the paintings, but my understanding is, Joel, and for feds, that museum has some of those paintings. Now, the other paintings Millman had, he had some of them in his home that were huge monsters. I was there in his home a couple nights with my future wife, should we say. Now, the thing is the Wyoming, University of Wyoming or wherever it is up there, there's a museum of art they've got a lot of those Nazi paintings buried in the basement in there, folks. Buried in the basement. Now the feds ought to be on that and get on that and take them away and confiscate them and do something right with them. But I just wanted to bring that up. Because these
we also need to bring up and remind new listeners who Leonard Millman was and what the book was, Otis Johnson, and what he told you about Leonard Millman and what Larry Mizell plays into that. So go ahead, Steve.
Well, Otis Johnson, I'd met, he was the one that was busting at the time, still in operation for William Casey. He was the assistant to William Casey, CIA director William Casey. Now, William Casey resigns, and he decides that he's going to run his mouth in Congress one morning, and he was scheduled to be there, where it leaked out, and he was going to tell everybody that Bush it was out of control. They robbed and looted the country, killed too many people, set up all kinds of illegal operations and everything else. He was totally against America, totally destructive. Casey was going to go testify. Well, William Casey, the morning he's to testify, Daddy Bush shows up. This is George Herbert Walker Bush, when I call him Daddy Bush, shows up along with two goons, busts the door down, and they take Casey in, and they put him in his chair, and two goons are holding him down while Daddy Bush takes a needle and sticks it in his temple and causes a cerebral hemorrhage. And they leave. Well, someone, a maid or a wife or somebody, was in the house, and they called the ambulance and so forth, and Casey's over at Bethesda Hospital. Got a floor above him with Secret Service, a floor below him, Secret Service, the whole bit. Nobody come and go except doctors and nurses. So for 10 to 14 days, he's over there running his mouth, because Otis went over and saw him. His other assistant, he had two direct assistants, 007 Otis Johnson and 007 blank, I'm not going to say. They go over and they find out what had happened, because they hear it from Casey himself. But Casey's running his mouth about everything Daddy Bush had done to the doctors and nurses, and how bad it was. Well, Casey dies. But before Casey died, there was still an operation going on where Casey decided to turn against him. And he did, like Ross Perot ran an operation because of me. And got him in 1997. Milman had to pay an $80 million fine. I was invited to the grand jury, kicked out of the courthouse by two FBI agents, couldn't go through the jury door. I got kicked off the building where I was going to jail. And I had a subpoena in hand. And the grand jury shut down that evening. And Kaufman, out of Washington, D.C., the U.S. attorney, is the one that killed him. And it was sealed under national security by the Clintons, because they had the Clintons in there. They had them all the drug stuff, everything. Now, Ross Perot was Office of Naval Intelligence. And I fed him information while I was hiding from the FBI folks, while they had a warrant for me. Then later, after I'm arrested, I meet Otis Johnson. He's in protective custody in there. And he was on the governor of Tennessee, I think it was. Whichever governor it was along the coast there. Louisiana, maybe. Anyway, he had him tagged and testified against him, put him in jail. Well, Bush found out it was a KC operation, and he threw Otis in the hole for about a year over out in Nevada. And then there was another guy in there, and he shared the same room with Otis above me on the second floor, and he was the guy that busted John Gotti. And he was in protective custody like Otis was. Well, they told me everything. I heard everything. I mean, I met so many people transferred through. I met 1,500 Iran-Contra players, major players who were busted. A lot of them were being hauled up to Denver because they had millions of dollars in Silverado bank accounts. And here I was, the whistleblower in Silverado. Blew it apart. Closed it down. The whole bit. So they got me in there as a political prisoner. And I was charged with terroristic death threats to Jewish families in Denver, meaning the Millmans, my ex-father-in-law. Now, you can listen to those terroristic death threats. They're in radio bar number one at the very bottom. I posted them up there. Those were the conversations that got me locked up. Except they extracted out the ones that he had on the day they dismissed the charges against me, or the judge threw it out of court with prejudice. And they still got me as a felon. But oh no, it was dismissed. And the documents are up there on my site. Anyway, Ross Perot's sting operation cost Milman in 1997 $80 million, Larry Mizell $10 million, and $10 million to Norman Brownstein. Now, I'm going to paint the picture for you for a minute. Otis Johnson, Super Spook, told me. He says, Stoke calls me up in 2004, and I had already remodeled his house and everything else. And, I mean, completely, for a year. Was up there at his place. I mean, he did everything to it. It took me a year, 40, 50 hours worth of labor each day. Plus, I was, you know, doing my radio shows and my internet. It takes a lot of time there each day. Anyway, so Otis had become a friend. And he calls me up 2004. He says, hey, Stu. He says, I got news for you. I said, what's up? He says, your ex-father-in-law's dead. I said, Milman? He goes, yeah. I said, no shit, when this happened. He says, yesterday. He said, he's dead. He says, well, I said, that's going to help solve my problem. He said, no, it won't. He said, the problem is, he says, whatever lived in Milman had lived for thousands of years before it inhabited Milman. And it came from Meyer Lansky. And it transferred to Milman. Now it transferred to Larry Mizell because he was the anointed one by Milman. Because he had done so many extra deeds for Milman, like 150 people killed with John King, the ex-cop of Denver that was burying bodies down in Mexico in a big mass grave down there that they've identified and had dug up and identified several people from Colorado. They were getting rid of people because they were in their way of business. Had to kill them or steal their business from them. So whatever inhabited Milman, the fallen angel, now is inhabiting Larry Mizell. Now, here's where Milman met Larry Mizell and Norman Brownstein. They were two attorneys that graduated together from Boulder Law School in Boulder, Colorado. So Milman hires him. Well, Mizell had approached Milman one time and said, look, I got this apartment complex. I want to remodel, blah, blah, blah. And they did a deal. So Mel would finance him 100% on it because he was a little Jewish boy, and he financed him 100%. Well, it was called the Hooker Apartments, folks. Hooker, H-O-O-K-E-R, Apartments. Well, Mizell rants and raves that he made, got a big loan from his aunt or something and started MDC Holdings. It's all lies that he puts out there today. That's where he got his initial little bit of bread. Now, when he graduates from law school, Milman hires both of them, Brownstein and Larry Mizell, Norman Brownstein. Brownstein becomes, now this is 1972. Brownstein in 75 becomes Daddy Bush's, when Daddy Bush was CIA director in 75, becomes his lead attorney. Okay, that's how connected these two are. Now, and how Milman and Bush were connected. Now, Larry Mizell, Milman's getting 100,000 or 10,000 apartments a year to him out of HUD. HUD is the biggest piggy bank to the crime syndicate. I mean, talk about looting the treasury. That's the worst of it right there at HUD. I mean, they are in control of over 500,000 apartment units today, MDC. And through AIMCO, A-M-I-C-O, Terry Constantine, Neil Bush's buddy, okay, controls the apartments. They were up to 500,000. He started getting rid of them after I started running my mouth on this stuff about 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. I'm going to say we're in control. They started to make it look like they were selling them off. They were creating other entities. That's what Brownstein does. Now, Larry Mizell, because he did the Hooker Apartments earlier on, Milman offers him the deal. Hey, I can get 10,000 units a year. You build the apartments. Wow, Mizell jumps on it instead of being a lawyer. So he became MDC Holdings. Milman Mizell Holdings. That's Richmond American Homes. They're one of the largest top five in the country home builders. General Homes of Texas. The one that Keating had down there. That home company that Milman took over. I think it's now in Mizell's control, but I forgot the name of it, Joe. What was the name of that company that Keating had? The new homes.
Oh, that
yeah, well anyway, they're controlling 10 of the top home building companies in the country, folks. They're building your new homes basically. Now, this is Mizell, one of the devil guys. But he went in the building business, and he went into, as an example, MDC Holdings and all the 10,000 plus entities they've created underneath that as subsidiary companies was Silverado Savings and Loan, Neil Bush, director, Daddy Bush, the vice president and president's son, director, that I caused the scandal and shut the place down. They had a congressional investigation on it because of me. That was one of the four scandals I was credited for, believe me, in mainstream media, okay, which I did do. That, the Denver Airport, the Keating 5, they called it, which was the MDC 200, and Denver Airport, let's see, what else was, and HUD. I got credit for that. It took a lot of shit, but I was locked up with all these different people who told me different things. But I'm going to focus back that Mizell controlled the money laundering, and one hell of a lot of them that had accounts at Silverado were locked up with me. Plus, here I am in the Super Spooks. Then I'm sent to Springfield, Missouri to be evaluated. On these so-called death threats. Listen to the phone calls. They're on Radio Bar 1 at the bottom. That's what I was charged with, folks. And the judge stood up and said, you wasted $750,000 of the taxpayers' money trying an innocent man. This case is dismissed with prejudice, he screams. Judge Richard Mate slams his gavel down. And then he tells me as I'm standing up, hang on, Mr. Webb. And he gives me this advice to go seek counsel for remedy to what had been illegally done to me. In other words, go sue their asses for what they did you. But here, Otis Johnson told me that when William Casey, his boss, and he was assistant to him, he was dispatched to Denver, Colorado from Washington with an order that had to be signed by George Herbert Walker Bush at the time, the Vice President of the United States. And he had to have the order signed immediately before Casey could do anything. Once it was signed, Otis's hands, that's fine. Casey moved forward. That's the way Casey operated. So he put Otis out there to Denver, and it happened to be on the human sacrifice. He's told to go through the old Navarre, or go through the Brown Palace Hotel, down to the Ship's Cavern, or Tavern it's called. It's a bar. Go down there, and there's a set of restrooms down there, a door on each side, but there's another door. He says, go through the other door, and it goes into a tunnel. And then it goes over to the old Navarre. So he takes through the tunnel, it's all lit up, and he goes knocking on the door, and some big guy his size, Otis is big, he was 6 foot something, five or something like that, he's a good sized guy, 300 pounds, 007. But anyway, he goes through the door, or he comes to the door, and this guy bigger than him comes to the door, and he tells him he has to see George Herbert Walker Bush and who he is, and he has to have his order signed. So they come back, and Bush is standing there in a black robe with a hood, black hood on, the whole bit. And Otis, he says, come on inside, Otis. So he comes inside the door, and stands there. They shut the door. He said, what do you got? He says, I need this signed by you, sir. And he reads the order, and he says, sir, I got to verify it's you, other than your voice. He says, okay. So he pulls his hood back, shows him his face, and says, yes, sir. And so he's reading the order. Otis is looking around. He says, Otis, if you ever tell anybody what you've seen in here, he says, I'm going to personally come kill you. Do you understand me? He says, yes, sir. He got the order signed. He left. That was Otis's story about being there. But he saw all these people with black hoods all crammed around an infant that was laying over there dead, that they were drinking the blood out of a chalice, I think they call it, was drinking their blood. He witnesses. This is a witness to the human sacrifice on a solstice, the summer or winter, and I don't know what year it was, but it was during Casey's realm. Okay? That's one of the stories I verified that it goes on there. Now, Joe, you're aware of the ley lines, and so is Jay Parker, but I think you expand on it beyond belief. Would you explain this and the energy grids that they get from doing these human sacrifices on these grids?
Well, what you have to understand is that it's energy, and it's Earth's energy that travels around the globe. That's all it means. Now, what they can do, these satanists, is that they can energize their consciousness into that ley line. That ley line, because you walk on the ground, your entire lower body is loaded with lines of meridian called acupuncture, acupressure, and that energy enters your body through your feet. That is why in Arden, Delaware, and Rose Valley, these are little villages, but they were built for the Satanists. And on one side is Rose Valley, and on the other side is Arden, Delaware, and running between the two of them is called the Arcadian Ley Line. It's a major ley line that even runs down through what we call the Pyramid of the Sun, Pyramid of the Moon, where the Aztecs did all of their sacrifices. So the height of this Tularean energy is when you have your equinoxes and your solstice. And remember, there are four equinoxes. There is spring, summer, fall, winter. Then you have two solstices. That is where the Earth tips closer to the sun, things warm up. When it pulls away, it gets colder and colder. And so approximately here in Phoenix at about 8:30, we will reach the peak of the shortest day. Then the Earth for the northern hemisphere will begin its slow path back to the sun. So this is a time. So don't think that these equinoxes and solstices are satanic holidays. They are not. They are God's creation of the dynamics of the earth, what it goes through. Spring, summer, fall, winter.
But
the heating of the North American continent and the heating and the cooling of the southern half called the equator. Well, there you have it.
Okay, but Joe, the Satanists used the solstices and the equinoxes as part of their human sacrifice time frame, don't they?
What they do, I'll repeat it again, it's built on what we would call, generally speaking, telluric energy. It's energy that is created by the earth, which helps the creation. And it's what man does with the planting of the crops, the harvesting of the crops, and et cetera, having to do with mankind's eating and his way of making his way through the earth, making his life, let's put it that way. So all it is taking advantage, these Satanists take advantage of those four equinoxes, two solstices, which are creation of God, and they use it for their advantage. Now, if that is going on, I can guarantee you God is not going to allow that to be not retaliated against. And I can assure you that everything that I've read, there are teams of people that are at other air ley lines interfering with what the Satanists are doing. Just remember, Old Navarre is not the only place of where they do human sacrifice. They still do the human sacrifice in the ley lines in Mexico. They still do it in Canada. They still do it in England.
I know they do it in Ohio over there.
Now,
Bushes.
The question was asked, what's this Council of 13? Well, Stu gave his account of it, but my list of people are like the Rothschilds. Now, there's a picture of Jacob,
Rothschild. That's one of them.
Maria Abramovic, who does live art, in other words, she does things with human cadavers, in front of a painting called Lucifer, and it's called Calling Down Lucifer. So what does that tell you? That one of the big persons that sits on this Council of 13 are the Rothschilds. Which ones? I don't know. There are accounts of...
Meyer, I heard it was Meyer Rothschild was the most recent that I heard.
No. Meyer Rothschild is long gone.
No, Meyer Rothschild. He was one about 4 years ago. He was still around.
That I don't know.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
It's David Rothschild, Jacob de Rothschild, and one other Rothschild. So, having said that, what it means is doing something for the fallen angels, for the Satanists, that give them life and power. And they take advantages of the equinoxes and the solstices. Now, some of the people that might be involved with this were the Lazard Brothers, the Schiffs, the Goldmans, the Sachs, the Coons, the Loews, the Warburgs, the Guelphs, and the list goes on and on and on and on. The Brothmans, the Manafors, the Dreyfuses. I would say that they are all part of that. Now, there are places, I'll give you an example of where there are, I can't say ley lines, but I think they are, because these special chateaus are built in the woods in France and Holland and Liechtenstein and Belgium. And these are, these are like the Chateau Amour. And let me give you the spelling of that. Hang on here, because I have it for you. There's somewhere. Amerio. Amour. And you can put that Chateaus of Darkness, and you can be taken on a tour through Chateau Amour. Nereau is another one where they do human sacrifice, where they, when the equinoxes go through and when the solstices go through. And so, in this video called Mother of Darkness Chateaus, I believe is the name of it, they take you through a tour showing some of the people who are part of that. And they show where George Herbert Walker Bush's 1,000 lights, where he got it from, because on the ceiling of the Chateau Amour is a pentagram with pin lights on it, except that it points to the south, which makes it into a Luciferian sign. Another place that they would do sacrificing would be, let me get this here. One would be Glamis Castle, Scotland. Windsor Castle, of course, England. Balmora Castle, Scotland. Watterson Manor. Canyon Farm Castle. Let's see who else. Hohenschwaga. And the city of London itself is a big ley line. And to show you the importance of this, you have your seven main cathedrals that go from Roslyn all the way down to Compostela in Portugal. And there are these cathedrals built to enhance this, what we would call, what I call, telluric energy. And it was built by the Knights Templar. And so, to show you that there is a war going on, Paris Notre Dame had its steeple burnt. And so what in any centralization of telluric energy, you have to have a pinnacle. And that's why you have in these cathedrals pinnacles, because they enhance the telluric energy. So I gave you some probable names, or at least they're involved with each other. There are many stories. You can go back to David Icke, and he interviewed some people that were in, I believe, Genoa, one of the Italian cities, and they were at a big chateau. And they were looking for money for what we would call charities. And a dumbwaiter was left open, and they could look in there, and they would see these human beings that would bounce back and forth between reptilian form and human form. They couldn't get out of there, obviously, fast enough. But that will tell you that the fallen angel aliens take a serpentine form. Now, that's not to be mixed up with some of the stuff on occult societies about the serpent. That has more to do with energy.
Now, Kathy O'Brien was a witness to that with George Herbert Walker Bush, and she wrote transformationofamerica.com, I think it is.
So that will give you an overall view. It's just not the Navari. There are places right now where there are major earth acupuncture points. That's where they do it. But I guarantee you the good guys will be there also doing their thing.
Prayer.
Well, it's just not prayer. Like, for instance, there's an energy, I can't think of it right now. Can't think of it.
The prayer is.
They make them into little cones, or big cones, and they'll put it on the ley line to increase its vibratory rate, and that defeats the misuse
enemy
of this telluric energy.
Oh, good, so, good, good, good. Now, Joe, prayer does work, and you're part of prayer on these times. Go ahead.
So, there are teams that prayer work. There are teams that do go go to the ley lines with, I can't think of those cones that they make them out of, it'll come to me in a minute. So, but anyway, that is just one of the things that they do to counteract what the fallen angels and their dark illuminous and the Khazarian Mafia and the Dark Nordics are countered by teams. So there you have it, the overall view. And here in Phoenix, the peak will be 8:30 this evening.
Now, go ahead. What time are you at right now?
We are at 5:10.
Okay, I'm at 6:10 here, Central Time, in Topeka, Kansas. Now, I think this needs to be stated because I haven't said this on this program, and people need to understand this, but I do have a video showing an FBI, ATF, whatever, raid in California with a human sacrifice. It is complete. It's up on my website. Stu Webb just put in here. Look for the human sacrifice video on the front page. Just keep scrolling down on your iPhones or your computers. It's there. And that gives you a good picture, but I'm hoping to have it with this audio incorporated inside. But there's also a video of the old Navari, as I mentioned earlier, from an aerial photo from a drone at night. And I'll have that up there. If not incorporated with this audio, it will definitely be on the site, both of them, with the audio. But here's something that people need to understand. That when they do these human sacrifices, they call them the Council of 13. The Council of 12 are the 12 disciples of Satan. They're the top in the world. They're the money, the power keg. They control everybody's money. Now, this is an example of the office of, the ones that control of the ones that take all the numbers and report to the Congress. I'm trying to think of its official title. Now, they get it from the Comptroller of Currency, the IRS, and all these numbers, and they report. Well, in 1981, they reported the Office of something, I forgot. They reported to Congress that 10% of the entire economy was controlled by 1% of the people. Meaning 99% of the American people controlled 90% of the economy. That was in 1981. Then they turned around and they wrote a report in June of 2012. They wrote the office of whatever it is, that reports to Congress Senate. They have no power and authority to arrest anybody. They just report. But they carry guns and badges. Federal agents. Anyway, they report in 2012 in June that 400 men now control 95% of the U.S. economy. That was in 2012. Okay? That's Larry Mizell, and that was Henry Kissinger, and the other 12 disciples of Satan control that much of the U.S. economy. What do they control of now? When I caused some bank bailout, that led to, finally, it led to J.P. Morgan being fined, I think it was $16 trillion. Or $16 billion, MDC Holdings, a subsidiary company, Asset Investors, was fined $2.5 billion. I never was paid any reward they owe me for the whistleblowing on that. I was never paid, but they were fined $2.5 billion. And to help J.P. Morgan pay its fine, which was controlled by Larry Mizell and the other 12 disciples, he bought their pension fund block through Great West Life of Overland Park, Kansas. But Great West Life is based in Denver, Colorado, but they took over 42% of the U.S. pension funds. The other 48% of U.S. pension funds was controlled by Norman Brownstein through Fidelity Financial, Fidelity Bank, etc. out of Denver, Colorado. Now remember, these two attorneys were the ones that Milman hired in 1972. One started building houses, opened up Silverado, drug money laundering from Iran-Contra with the Clintons and everybody. Now, I had Super Spook Gene Chip Tatum on December the 6th on my radio broadcast, and it's up on my website, and you see it. go back to June the 6th, but I posted a couple days later because they were messing with my internet site. But I reposted it. 007 Gene Tatum was in the title, Stu Web Radio, 007 Gene Tatum. Listen to what he said about Norman Brownstein towards the last of the show. He mentioned the fact, yeah, we were down in this shelter down there in southern Colorado and so forth, and we were being told to transport these deeds up to Norman Brownstein. And when I said and done, I said, what they were doing is committing fraud. He said, yeah. And they were going in and deeding homes into their name and getting it done, and they were going and kicking people out of their homes and stealing their equity. This is the kind of stuff that was going on. It still does. But here's what Milman had when he died in 2004. He was in control of about $100 trillion. He left his family an estate, supposedly. Family estate. Trust. $50 billion. To my ex-wife and her siblings and her sister and her brother and grandkids or whatever, kids, left him that money. Oh, of course, the brother-in-law, Alan Karsh, who was in control of it, Milman's brother-in-law, 650 South Cherry, he brings into the drugs, by the way, still to today, at the airport they built when they built Denver International Airport, but they built a cargo airport to the east of there. Well, that's where he brings it in every Wednesday, a whole load of cocaine from Mexico, and then he transports it up, still to today, to Pelican Pete's restaurant in Boulder, which they have a sub-basement bomb shelter, is where the coke is stored. So you feds want to get in and join the crowd and try to bust them, why don't you do it? Do your job. Now, Alan Karsh is in control of that estate also. So him and Mizell looted it for $25 billion of the $50 billion he left to his family, supposedly. And they registered it with the Denver courts intentionally to make it look like it was legitimate money and not drug money. It's all stolen money and drug money. $1 of drug money, they can confiscate everything you have. Mizell today is in control of $150 trillion of the U.S. money. They're the largest bank in the United States, which is BlackRock, Blackstone, created from drug money of Iran-Contra and Silverado, financed it. Milman, going into the buying up shopping malls around under BlackRock, Blackstone name. Then they developed the other one, the Capital Company, which is now the bank. It's the largest bank in the United States today, and it controls the United States Treasury. It took it over underneath Donald Trump. Now, they're also, Great West Life, I mentioned earlier, took his pension funds, but they happen to be based in Overland Park, but they're actually the home base of Great West Life was Denver. And it was a subsidiary company off a Power Financial Company that Milman created, and he inherited Meyer Lansky, Power Financial, largest bank in Canada. He inherited that when Meyer Lansky died, because he was the anointed one to be the next fallen angel-possessed human being in control of this wealth. So he creates Great West Life. Great West Life today owns HSBC Bank, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corp, HSBC Bank, the largest bank in the world. And that's where they launder the drug money. And they're always popping up every 6 months where some government has come, country has come against one of their, found out that they were drug money laundering, so some vice president gets blamed and Mizell doesn't go to jail. It's always the same crap. Now, this guy's in control of that much money because he buried 150 bodies down there in Juarez, Mexico, in that big grave. John King, his killer, the cop. Here's an example of the cop. He got caught on camera at United Bank, where he went in and caught, supposedly shot four bank guards. They weren't bank guards. They were money counters where the money was being dropped off by the drug lords around Denver. Shotgun Willie, strip joints and all that. Bobby Rifkin and Mizell and Milman and Brownstein, all on the board of directors. I mean, all the drugs in the world. Kingpin, Denver, Colorado. Now, I'm going to tell you something about this cat and gator. when they do these human sacrifices, and Baphomet, the goat-headed demon, the devil shows up, they get favor. No, for killing a kid and drinking his blood. And here they've been molesting kids all night before they go in and kill one. Believe me, listen to the audio I've got up there of Anthony LaVey, Church of Satan, his father, created the Church of Satan. He was sacrificed. He was castrated, actually, there, and he thought it was the Kimball Castle because that's where I was being misled. It turned out to be the old Navari. But there's an audio of him. Several years back, they tried to murder him after he did that radio program with me. He talks about being locked up with Scott Millman. That was my ex-wife's brother. Now, this supports everything that I'm saying here. That audio is very, very supportive. And it tells the facts. But here's what I do know. In 1984, about 25 days before my daughter's born, on June the 21st, in the middle of the night, the moon's shining real bright. I got a patio. It's a deck outside the bedroom with, you know, glass doors, two of them, French doors, going out the bedroom. It was an L-shaped ranch, and it stepped down a set of stairs, went over to another patio on the other side. It was all fenced in, had fence where people couldn't see in. Well, around the deck was this bamboo fencing that I had put up so nobody could see in there because we had a little hot tub out there. So here we got the doors open because it's a cool night in Dallas for June the 21st. And I didn't like air conditioning. She didn't either. So we had the air conditioner off and I had bedroom windows open, or one of them open across where my office was. It was a little three-bedroom. And I used one as an office. The other one is a future bedroom of my daughter to come 25 days later. Well, we're laying in bed. We got the ceiling fan going above us. We're both naked underneath a sheet. And all of a sudden, bang! And I hear bang, 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 bang. Something coming down the hallway. And I'm dead asleep. I'm trying to wake up. What am I hearing? And all of a sudden I hear this bang, 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 bang. And I open up my eyes, and there's Baphomet, the goat-headed demon, slamming his six-foot-long tail on the wall. Bang, bang, bang. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, my God. And I'm sitting there watching this thing. It's jacking off. I'm going, oh, my God. And I'm looking off the end of the bed, and I can see something's different about its knees, but I can't tell what it is. I find out later he had the goat-headed goat knees. He's called the goat-headed demon. He has Baphomet has goat legs, and the knees are backwards. Hooves. That was the noise coming down the hallway. Hooves. Like horse. Bang, 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 bang. And then beating the tail on the wall. I'm sitting there going, oh, my God. And he's sitting there looking at me with these red eyes just glowing. I said, I closed my eyes. I said, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, I command you out of here now. Satan, all of a sudden, I hear this, bang, whirlwind. Open up my eyes, and he was gone. The adrenaline shot through me so hard that I snapped right onto my feet, shot up so quick. I hit my head on the ceiling fan. And I hit my head on a ceiling joist instead of punching my head through the ceiling, the drywall. I hit it that hard because I had a knot on each side later on in the day. Now, when I jumped up, I'm looking around. Boy, I hit real quick to grab some pants or shorts or whatever I had there and pull them on real quick. And I'm going to get my gun. And so I had to have my keys. Because I hid these guns from her because she chased me through the house that initiated her going to being forced to see a shrink, which I took her to four of them actually, before she tried to murder our kid and ran off 28 days after she's born. But here's the point. Satan's gone. Boy, I dad flying across the hallway, hitting the hall lights and everything. He's not around, and I'm going to the file cabinet. I'm pulling my gun out. All of a sudden, about time I get my gun out, got in hand, she comes and grabs a hold of my belt. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I started shooting her. I thought it was Satan. It wasn't. She was holding on. She got her robe on, and she's. And when I jumped out of bed, I said, "What the hell was that?" She goes, "That was Satan." And she had perspiration all over her face, and she was saturated. You could see it. And tears coming out of her eyes. Satan didn't claim what he was after. It was to kill me, I believe. And that was part of what Millman's ritual is and was during that period of time. And then all of a sudden, they're calling her up after our child's born for the first time in like 4 or 3 years. Okay? Had nothing to do with them because they didn't want anything to do with me. Okay? I believed in Christ. Now, I run up the hallway. She's attached to me with her hand, holding on to my belt, and the door is yanked off. It was a French doors, solid core, except what you do to them is you take, instead of those little screws that are used that hold your hinges on with, you take those out and you put 3-inch drywall screws, which screw into the 2x4s in behind it. But you don't pull it down too much, because if you do, you got to do it exactly the same that it is a square to keep from leaving a gap in the door. Now, I had 3-inch drywall screws in there, and they were all yanked out, folks, where the Baphomet hit the front door. And he grabbed the screen door, French screen doors, glass and screen on it, and he yanked one off and threw it out along the garage, which was an L-shaped ranch. That's the strength of this bastard. And that hit my house. Well, I grabbed that door and I shoved it in the hole and I said, "Oh, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, I command you out of here, Satan." And so I went through this whole house. I even crawled up the stairs into the garage, up into the attic, looked around. Where's this son of a bitch at? I mean, he was already gone. Jesus threw him out. But I'm running around there with the gun in hand. I'm going to cure the problem. I go to the kitchen. I said, "Get the olive oil out, Carrie." And I had her put olive oil across on the window in the kitchen. We prayed right there. And then we prayed on other windows. And I got on my hands and knees and was praying too. She actually got on her hands and knees. I couldn't believe it. It was the whole point, because she was a Jew, but claimed to be born again. Bullshit. Anyway, she was a Satanist. A Baphomet was gone because of prayer. He's for real. They send him out when they do the human sacrifice to do that special favor for them, because they worship Satan, because they're fallen angel possessed human beings. This is real, folks. This is no bogus crap. It is real that these things go on. Now, Joe, do you want to add to that?
Well, I think we need to roll this one because my battery is running low.
Oh, your battery going down? Well, I think we've said it all pretty much, but
all right, just stop there. Because the people need to know, well, what is that energy that Jay Parker uses? It's called organ energy. And you make these organ poles, and what it does is it speeds up the telluric energy. It spins. Like, you can take these cones and you can put them on the four corners of your house and then do it on the inside, and it keeps that energy up in your house. Nope. So that's one way that you can deal with these fallen angel aliens and the Satanists.
Now, I have one right here that someone had bought for me as a gift, and they're about $50, I think, for the cone or something like that. They're on organite.com, I believe it is, folks. Organite.com. And they got these little things for ladies to hang around your neck and so forth to keep it off of you. But, Joel, give us the last words on this.
Okay, just remember, these days that we're seeing now, they are not a panic holiday. These are simply your 4 equinoxes and 2 solstices. It's where the earth carries on life. But what happens is people come in that have an ill heart and do terrible deeds using these ley lines. So there you have it.
Okay, now, let's talk about another subject just for a moment. What do you think in the bigger picture worldwide is happening? And are we going to be at war soon? Or is it already started?
It's being maneuvered right now because of what's happened in the Ukraine and now what's happened in the Gaza. So they are, because the last thing these homeless, these elitists want to do is when they are not getting things pointed in the right direction, they bring about a war. And we here in the United States, because there will be people out here that are listening, our border is literally being invaded. They just walk through. Like down in Eagle Pass, which is Del Rio, Texas, they had yesterday 24,000 people come through.
Did you hear what Texas governor did?
What do you think is going to happen to the society? We can't support that.
The Texas governor, he flew a bunch of them to Chicago today. A bunch of thousands of them.
Let's make a straight one on that. Abbott gets on there and makes a big play that he's giving the empowerment for police officers to make an arrest or to detain. All that they have to do is they still have to turn them over to the Border Patrol, and then the Border Patrol is commanded to release them. Don't be fooled, people. All it has to be is the president picks up the phone and says, arrest and return. That's all that's needed. You don't need any walls. You don't need any laws. They're already on the book, but the president decides what to do. And so now it is detain and release.
That's a good summary of it.
That is it right there. There's no other statement that's made. We are being portrayed because these satanic people have taken over the government.
Now, one quick statement I want to make, because I don't know whether I have it up yet or not on my site, but it was about the earthquake that happened yesterday and the day before in China, folks. 155,000 homes and buildings were destroyed. One powerful earthquake. I expect we're going to have more of these, just like Iceland blowing its volcano. Now, who knows how much ash? I haven't seen tonight's news. Missed it. I'll try to catch it later and see what the deal is. But people need to be aware of this, because we're going to see more volcanoes go off. And when they do, like the one in Iceland, it happened in 2010, I think they had indicated, that it caused a flume, ash, to go clear over to Europe to where no airplanes could even fly for a week in Europe because of the ash. Now, this is what Otis Johnson told me, that Yellowstone was going to happen one day, that they had already predicted it. It would blow. And the floor did come up 15 years ago, up, and it got so hot in there that the fish in that lake up there, because I was, as a kid, visited the place a couple of times with my parents, but that place was so hot, it was killing all the fish. And downstreams, hot water, killing the fish. So that thing, one day, might blow. And Otis told me, if it ever blows, and I was in Kansas City on the phone with him, and he was up in Hastings, Nebraska. And he said to me, he said, if it blows, he says, still get in your car and get the hell with the full tank and drive as far south as you can until it starts coming in to where it's not gonna, you won't want to suck it in your car, your engine. Because he said, Kansas City will be buried 4 feet of ash. Denver will have 12 feet of ash. And he says, out here in Nebraska, I'll have probably 10 or 12 feet as well. But he said, Kansas City will have about 4 feet of ash. So he says, go as far south as you can. I'm just giving you a heads up, folks. Yellowstone, still very active. Go to the USGA.gov and just check out the activity of Yellowstone. Check out the activity of the four corners of Missouri, Illinois, Tennessee, and Arkansas, and that shaking of that fault down there line. It's pretty heavy. It's a 3.5 almost every day, and it's increasing a little bit all the time. We're going to see a lot of activity, I believe, over this next year that we got. Now, one last statement. Otis Johnson told me that they saw it because he was working for General Flynn at the NSA. He told me CERN, the super collider, in Switzerland, that the NSA had been having their operation there, and they were, the information was reported back to him and others. That by 2025, now he told me this in 2017 before he died, before they murdered him. He told me, he said they saw in the super collider sometime between 2021 and 2025 these events would take place too. He said two stars would pellet Earth. Now that's Revelation 13, I believe, Wormwood and his sister star. And he was in agreement because he was a raised Christian. And the whole bit, even though he did super spook stuff, and he said he thought he was doing it for the betterment of mankind, he found out it was for the crime syndicate later. But he said by 2025 or thereabouts, he says, planet Earth is going to be hit with a star six times the size of Earth. A big fireball is going to come sweeping around the sun, and it's going to smack Earth. Now that's about a year, year and a half away, folks. Big fireball. What's going to happen in the meantime? Supposedly two stars. So keep your eyes posted, and let's see if CERN, the super collider, that tells them in space-time what's going on, which we've been dealing with since they brought that technology to America in 1952, the alien technology, which are the 200,000 registered fallen angels with the National Security Agency. I said, Otis, that means if there's 200,000 registered, that's all the world leaders or Satanists. He goes, no, Stu, that's not true. He says, Trump isn't, and he's not evil. He said, it's their assistants. If they aren't the leaders that are possessed, it will be one of their aides or assistants who give them the bad advice on what to do. So, with that said, you got anything to add, Joe?
That's it.
Okay. I want to thank you very much for doing the show with me, Professor Joe. It's always my pleasure. Have a good one. Good night, folks.